John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. It tells us what kind of folk were there. It tells us that there were blind people there, that there were lame people there. They call them halt. There were withered people there, people that's limbs didn't function. And it tells them why they were there. It says that they were there waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody say, that's a long time. It's a long time. 38 years. That's a long, long time to be lame. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto them, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible says in verse 9, immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked on the same day with the Sabbath. I want to preach to you for just, I don't believe it's going to last very long this morning. I don't want to hold you too long. There's a very full, busy day. I want to get to the point, and then I want you to respond to the word today. I want to preach to you on the subject I've entitled, The Result of the Response. The result of the response. Would you lay your Bibles down, bow your heads? Let's just pray a word of prayer very quickly over the remainder of this service. Lord, God, right now we have come to the apex of this service. God, where your word is about ready to go forth. God, and we just ask right now that our hearts would be made open. God, with the worship that has been in this place today, God, you've surely churned up some ground that has been hard in the hearts of those that are in this place today, God, and made it ready for the seed of your word to be planted. God, I pray that right now by the end of this service that there would be people in this place today that's lives are changed in Jesus' name. And would you say amen? I love this particular story in the Word of God for many different reasons. I've preached several times on this. I find myself back at this late last night in my studies, back to this story yet again. I love this scripture because I can go to it and I can find different lessons within the lesson, different stories within the story. First of all, it tells me about a supernatural moving of angelic beings that would come down and trouble the waters around this pool where all of these sick people were at. And the sick people would gather there. And once a year, the angel would come down and trouble the waters. And I don't know how they knew that it was angelic troubling of the waters, if the pool was normally calm or what it was, or maybe they could see the angelic being. Nonetheless, we find a supernatural experience taking place. And I think most of us have somewhat of a fascination with the supernatural. I know that I do. And so this story intrigues me that an angel would come down, trouble the waters, and the first one into the waters after the troubling of the waters by the angelic being would be made whole. However, there was a lot of people that would gather around this place. And so it would only be beneficial for the very first one that could get into the waters after the angel moved upon the waters. The second thing I enjoy about this story is that it tells me of a man that had to deal with his problem, his issue for a long time. We talk about the woman with the issue of the blood and how 12 years seemed like it would be a long time. But this man had been more than three times that amount that he had been suffering with his ailment. He'd been brought to this pool day in and day out, laid down on his bed, probably getting as close as he could. And yet, year after year had gone by, 38 years perhaps had gone by, where when the angel would touch the water, he could not get into the water as quickly as he would like and get his healing. Though he's seen others healed, he still must be carried. But the cool thing about it is he still hangs out where the angels visit. Even though he's never personally benefited, even though he's laid there year after year and watched other people, possibly even friends of his who has laid there at that pool with him, get their healing. Yet something about that spot that is supernatural causes him to not give up on one day it being his turn to get his healing. The third thing this story tells me is that he almost missed his opportunity when Jesus offered that opportunity to him because he was intent on his healing being done a particular and specific way. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying right here. You've got it already wrapped up in your head how God's going to work for you. You've already got it in your mind how you think God is going to make it happen. How he's going to heal you, how he's going to touch you, how he's going to deliver you, whatever it is that you're looking for in your life, amen, from God. You've already got it because you saw somebody else get theirs that way. You watched as somebody else, maybe a friend of yours, got their healing. You heard somebody testify, and so in your mind, you've already got God in this little box. But I've come to tell somebody today that God does not always work in specifics for you the way he did for somebody else. You need to quit thinking God's going to do it one way when God's got a multitude of ways that he can make your miracle happen. God has designed your specific miracle for you because you are specific to him. We need to understand today that our results are directly, unequivocally related to how we respond. I just taught the lesson this morning. I couldn't help but a little of this bleeding over into it. But without a response, there could have been no miraculous healing take place. Before Jesus ever told the man to get up and walk, he first asked him a simple question. He says, "Will you be made whole?" In other words, what he's asking the man is something that in most of our minds seems to be a rhetorical question. But he's basically looking at this man who'd been laying here for 38 long years, having to be carried down and put down on this bed and set beside the waters and watch other people be healed when the angels come by and trouble the waters. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Do you want to be made better? Would you like to experience the feeling of walking on your own two feet? Or are you satisfied right where you're at?" Now, there's a lot of people that think that that'd be a crazy question, but I see the same thing paralleled in a lot of people's spiritual lives. God comes in to move. Amen. God comes in and he wants to do something. But when he asks the question, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to move up to the next level? Are you ready for the next commitment level?" Oftentimes we find ourselves having to answer the question, "You know, really, God, if it's going to take me walking on my own two feet, if I'm going to have to go out and do this and do that and be responsible for something greater when normally I've just been carried, then no, I think I'd just like to stay right where I'm at." Not everybody wants to walk on their own two feet. Not everybody wants to take up their bed and walk. Some people have fallen in love with their infirmities, both in the physical and the spiritual. It's become their little safety blanket that they lay down on the ground and they sit on that, and everybody knows who they are and everybody knows not to expect too much out of them. But Jesus comes along and he says, "I've got a greater plan for you, but it's going to be designated as a healing miracle to you only according to how you respond to what I'm about ready to do." And without a response that is proper, there can be no healing. Not everyone around the pool wants to be healed. Some people enjoy being carried. We get used to being carried. Some people enjoy having that lifestyle where nothing's expected of them. "Don't ask me to go out of my way. Don't ask me to be inconvenienced. Lord, I want all the blessings. I want the miracles, but I don't want the commitment that comes along. I don't want to have to answer the question if I'd rather be made whole. Can you not just hand me something and I can stay right here?" And so Jesus wanted to know, what's it going to be? You comfy on that bed, or would you like to get up and walk on your own 2 feet? Oh, I knew it was going to be quiet. Sometimes the word digs. Sometimes it digs into me. Never in the history of humanity have we ever lived in a society that coveted the art of victimhood like the one we have today. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? We live in a society where nothing is my fault. If I have an issue, it had to stem from somewhere. It had to stem from my past. It was handed down to me from my grandma, my great-grandma. Well, honey, just because your great-great-great uncle used to rob banks doesn't give you the authority and the right to go out and rob banks. You can't blame your problems on everybody else. And even if you could, God has already told us that, hey, there is no temptation that has fallen man that somebody else hasn't already dealt with and that you're not able to overcome. What is the word of God saying is that with every temptation, the Lord has linked to that temptation a way of escape. What did he do? He took our excuse for failure away. He took our excuse for impotency away. He took our excuse, amen, for being lame away, and he just wants to know, will you be made whole? Will you get back up on your own 2 feet? Do you want to walk in the power and the presence of an almighty God, or are you happy laying right where you're at? The result of the response. All of our problems can be summed up and put in a nice little package of blame, and we can put on someone else's doorstep, but at the end of the day, we're still sitting at the edge of the pool on a blanket and nothing has changed. I get it. I understand that things happen. Things aren't perfect. I get it that families have problems. I get it that, you know, jobs have issues and we have things that we deal with just on a daily basis. We live in a world that is sinful. We're battered on every side and we don't live in a little Beaver Cleaver neighborhood. And as some of y'all go home one of your parents may not be there and maybe there's issues in the home that you've got different things going on with your spouse or maybe there's family issues or financial issues, all these things that just keep coming up. This is the world we live in, and we can sit around and make excuses all day long. We can sit here and say, you know what, I'm just going to have to deal with this. This is just my lot in life. Or we can say, you know what, God, if you're willing to help me, if you're willing to heal me, if you're willing to set me up, I can climb up out of this mess. I don't have to live this way. I can live an overcoming life. Amen. But it only will happen if you respond to the word of God. It's not that something supernatural never happens in our life, but oftentimes we come to church and it happens for somebody else. How come Brother Glenn can shout the victory every single service? It only hits me every once in a while. How come so-and-so can go to an altar and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance and get refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And I'm sitting here feeling dry and I can't really feel God. And how come this one seems to be victorious? And how come that family seems so happy? And how come this one over here can seem to move forward? And how come they can smile all the time, even though I know they're going through some problems? Well, let me tell you something this morning. It's because their results have been predicated upon their response. You don't shout because you're happy. You shout because it makes you happy, and the whole thing rolls over and over again. Amen. God wants to move, but he can only give you a result if you will respond to his Spirit. We look around, we say, oh, that person must have some great prayer warriors hitting their knees for them. They got somebody that helps them into the pool. Well, their family's perfect. Well, their marriage is perfect. Well, they make enough money. They don't have the problems I have. They've got helps. They come from a functional family, and so they've got to help to get their healing. But I've come to tell somebody today that Jesus has stepped into this place this morning, and he just wants to know, do you want to be made whole? There are times when an angelic being comes in and touches one or the other, but then there are other times, and I feel that this morning, it's not based on a supernatural one time of year experience. You know, that perfect service where they sang the right song and hit the right notes and you could just feel it and that bass guitar was reverberating off your chest and you thought it was the Holy Ghost, but it was just the sound of the bass guitar and but anyway, you took it as the Holy Ghost and everything was perfect and the tear began to roll down your eye and or down your cheek and just that perfect service. You know what I'm talking about? You know, just that message was right to me. And no, there are times when the Lord walks in and he says, you know what? We're not waiting on the angels today. We're not waiting on the waters to be troubled. I'm here to take care of you right now. The question is, are you willing to make the effort that it takes to walk on your own? The question is, are you willing to take up your bed and walk? Are you willing to accept the responsibilities that come along with the supernatural? God, heal me and then I'm just going to go about my business. He said, no, if I heal you, I'll heal you for a purpose. There'll be a reason. If I touch you, it won't be so that you can go back and wallow around the same old mud pit. He said, I'm going to touch you and make you the light of the world, a city that is set upon a hill. You're not to wallow around in darkness. You are a child of the light. He will touch you, but there will be a purpose behind it. Had this man not responded, he would have never had a healing result. Results are response driven. Well, where do you get that in the Word? Let me just take you to a few instances. How about Naaman? Anybody remember Naaman? What am I going to do? I got leprosy. It's incurable. Not only is it incurable, but it's going to separate me from everything that I love. What am I going to do? Well, I heard of a man of God. Let's go see what he has to say. Well, go dip in the River Jordan. Jordan, does he know who I am? I'm not some punk kid that's going to go down and just dip in muddy old Jordan. Send me to the beautiful place. Let me go down and dip myself in some crystal springs or something like that. Why do I have to go through this humbling experience? And Naaman, at first he balked at it. He said, I'm not doing that. When all of a sudden, his right-hand man looked at him and said, if he had not asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Why don't you go down there and try it? All he's asking you to do is dip in the muddy waters of Jordan 7 times. But the flesh rises up and we want to respond out of our pride. I'm not going to that altar. If I go down there, everybody will think I'm a sinner. If I go down there, I've never done that before. That doesn't seem to make sense. I don't understand what it's all about. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's all about responding to the Word. Naaman dips in the waters of Jordan. 3, 4, 5 times, 6 times comes up the same. But on that 7th time, he comes up and the Bible said his skin was as that of a small baby's skin. Like brand new. Elisha says, I want a double portion of what you have, Elijah. Elijah said, what you've asked is not an easy thing. It's a hard thing. You think the Lord doesn't understand that you come into an altar? You don't think that he doesn't understand that you giving your heart to him is a hard thing? It's hard on your flesh. But your flesh can't save you. And each time Elisha would be following Elijah, Elisha would say, why don't you stay here? And Elisha's like, no. I remember what you said. I'm going to follow you. I don't care where you go. I'm going to be right on your coattail because I want that double portion. If he had not had responded, he would have not had the miraculous results. The prodigal son would have never known the power of a forgiving father had he not bowed his filthy head, walked back home with the stench of the pig still upon his body, headed back down that dusty road towards home. If he had not had responded to the call of home, He'd have died amongst the pigs. But his response brought him back to a sonship position. The fact of the matter is that you can hear the finest sermon preached. You can sit under the most anointed men of God. But unless you respond, nothing supernatural is coming your way.